desire and interest in your prayers this afternoon. Didn't know that we would be continuing this afternoon, but felt like the Lord would have us just to go ahead and pick up right where we left off this morning. On the subject of confession, I'd like to begin over in Romans in the 10th chapter. Romans chapter 10, we'll begin, we'll read verse 10. Let's read verse 9. It says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart." See, there's a little difference in believing something intellectually and believing in your heart. Talked about in Sunday school, I believe it was mentioned, the devils believe and they tremble. They have an intellectual knowledge, but they don't believe in their heart such that it prompts them to action. So he said, if you confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Salvation is a condition of heart, but understand in this passage of Scripture, it ties it with confession of the mouth. Confessing that I believe in Christ. Confessing, a little different analogy here, but confessing that Christ is the Son of God. And it says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Confession is a very important part of salvation, and it's more than just an acknowledgement. And that is why it's important that when we take ownership of something in our life, that it be coupled with repentance. Because I think you can confess without repenting. But confession is a part of repentance. Repentance is turning away from. And that's why I want us to also to give us a caution about repeated confessions. There's a place that once we confess that there's a place in the Lord to begin to grow, that we don't have to be in the same place all the time. There are a lot of people that confess. I think about the danger of even those that have been without alcohol for many years, one of the steps in AA, when you introduce yourself as an alcoholic. And what they are doing, and I'm not going to go down the road whether they should do it or not, but what they're doing is acknowledging a need. And I think it's good for us to acknowledge a need, but if the Lord has delivered us from the need, I don't want to keep reinforcing in my mind that I still have a problem. Actually, I want to start professing that the Lord saved me from that problem. That I'm not the same person I used to be. There are going to be areas that it's going to take more than one confession in certain areas of our life where we're growing. Let me give you an example. Does anybody here, and patience is just such an easy one to talk about, because most people somewhere along the line need more patience. So if you're impatient with a word and you take ownership of it, well, does that mean that you should never again have to say, I was impatient. I should have had more grace there. Should have had more patience or long suffering. No, because on a journey of growth, we are growing, but I don't want to stay in the same place. You understand? I don't want to have to keep owning the same thing. I want to be growing that I can look back and say, you know what, today I am a more patient person than I was 5 years ago. And you know, actually, I'm thankful. I'll confess that to you. I am today. Because that's spiritual growth. Areas of, in our humanity used to something might have bothered me a little bit. Now, you know, it's all right. It's okay. That's part of growth, but that doesn't mean that there's never a time to take ownership again and say, I should have been more patient right there. In all of our lives, but I'm talking about repeated confessions without growth, without improvement. I'm an alcoholic. I'm an alcoholic. Yes, I'm an impatient person. Well, get over it. You know, there's grace for that, that you can start growing. I'm thankful I have need of patience. But the Lord has helped me to grow. I'm further down the road than I was last year, 5 years ago. Sometimes maybe you don't see improvement from yesterday, but do you see improvement from 5 years ago? That's growth. Be encouraged. Keep going that direction. But don't stay in the same place, because confession doesn't mean anything if I say, I take ownership of that, I'm sorry, and I do the same thing tomorrow, and the same thing Tuesday, and the same thing Wednesday. Pretty soon, when you're taking ownership, it's like, I know you own it every day, and nothing's changing. So we want a couple taking ownership or confession with God's grace that will begin to enable us to start growing and moving. Brother Cook has mentioned this scripture a few times recently in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. And they overcame by what? By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives even unto death. To me, that's talking about where their love was. All three of those are important keys to overcoming. They overcame by the blood. It was a divine work of God. It was a divine work of grace. But now, I'm not going to be ashamed of it. Because have you ever, I've known people that God has done something in their life, and they didn't want to tell anybody. Because they thought, and there's a place sometimes where people just live the life and let the fruit prove it. Because if you've said it 100 times and nothing's changed, just keep quiet about it and live the life and let people see there's a difference. There's a place for that. But there's also a place to acknowledge God did something for me. But some people don't want to tell what God has done and take ownership even in a public way, because then I'm accountable. See? Confession brings accountability. Now that may mean just with an immediate family member. It may mean to the body of Christ. But confession brings accountability. Now when it said they overcame by the word of their testimony, that was talking about a profession from the mouth. It's not enough to say, well, God knows my heart and that's all that matters. He wants it to come out. I'm going to tell you that I'm not the same person I used to be. The Lord did something for me. We don't need to be ashamed of that. I'm glad I'm not the man I used to be. I'm glad I'm not, don't have the same struggles that I used to. I got some other struggles. Got some other areas the devil's been working on. But there's other places God's given more grace now to enable us to grow up in Him, become strong and mature in the things of God. But we want to take ownership. But if we don't want to take ownership publicly, why? Now sometimes, and couple this in balance with what I already brought out this morning, I'm not going to reiterate it. There's balance in all of this. But one of the reasons sometimes people don't want to take ownership, husbands and wives do this sometimes. I'm going to make a change, but I'm not going to say anything. They don't even humble their heart. They don't humble their heart and go and say, you know what, I was wrong there, and I'm sorry. They need to take ownership of that. But if I go and say, I'm sorry, now I'm accountable. They know I know. So they're going to expect something different. They're going to expect some recognition now that you're cognitive of that thing. I want you have a need. I want to see something changing. It's helpful. Confession brings accountability. And well, it should. I think it's important. You can't, like I mentioned this morning, it doesn't behoove everybody to confess everything to everybody. That's not what I'm saying here. But it is good for people affected or to have someone that you can trust, that won't betray your confidences, to go and enter into prayer about some things together. And have that confidence to help bring some accountability to reinforce what God is doing in your life. To reinforce that, there's a place for that, and there's some value in that. Children, young people, there's nothing wrong with sharing some of your struggles with your parents. You may think, well, I don't want them to know I'm struggling with that. I want you young people to know something. I'm going to tell you direct, and I tell my boys this often. I was young once. I know what it's like to be a young man. I know the things the devil works on. So when you young sisters, in your mind you may think, well, nobody struggles exactly what I am, and I'm just unique in this. And nobody knows the feelings that I'm battling, or the things I'm being tempted with, or the things that are troubling me. It just seems like that's just me, and nobody really understands it. That's not true. Your parents haven't talked to me either. I'm telling you, it's not true, because we were there once. And that means that when we begin to acknowledge that, you know what, I'm struggling with, we're not going to think you're strange or what's wrong with you. Because we have some of those same struggles. And so in confessing those things, you start finding that there are more people that have some of those same struggles. And they might be able to help me. And the Scripture says to bear one another's burdens. But how can someone bear your burden if you're not willing to take ownership and acknowledge that, you know, I'm struggling here. Have you ever had those close, I say intimate moments in a good way, close moments with someone or a small group of people that you begin to really open your hearts? You can't do that all the time because you don't trust everybody all the time. Especially if your trust has been betrayed, you want to clam up and never talk about it again. That's a problem. That's the enemy that does that. Once you've been betrayed and someone's betrayed your confidences, you don't want to talk to anybody. But I want you young people and children to know there is value in finding someone to talk to. Because you will find that you're not so strange after all. In the things that you thought, I remember someone tell me once, they were just unique. They had it worse than everybody else. Like, buddy, everybody feels that way. And it doesn't undermine how big of a battle it is, but if it helps you to know, it's common to people. And so to take ownership of it and then to share someone, even in confidence, there's value. It brings accountability and someone can help bear your burden for you and with you. Scripture says, again, I'm just going to read, I want to touch on where we've been. Confession brings freedom. It liberates. It can bring about reconciliation to graceful people, people with grace. And if it doesn't, and it doesn't sometimes, then you can still be clear in your spirit. And there's a peace in that. It'll take care of marriage problems, a lot of marriage problems. It can take care of in-law problems. It can take care of problems in congregations. Take ownership. Take ownership. It brings forgiveness from God. That's the biggest one. It brings clarity with God. It brings accountability. I want to bring, and I want to conclude with one of the a very important result of confession. And that is found in James chapter 5. And this is the last scripture I'd like to conclude with this thought, but I want to take a little bit of time with it. James chapter 5, begin with verse 16, it says, confess what? Your faults. Does anybody here have any faults? I do. Okay, there's two of us. Confess your faults. Now, we already dealt with who you're supposed to confess them to. This scripture says, confess your faults one to another. It's not always wise to stand up. I'm not saying there's not a place for it. There is a place for public confessions. I believe that. But there's also a place that it's one to another. It doesn't mean that I'm getting up and confessing every single thing I've ever imagined or thought or battled in my mind. Do you think that would be wise? I don't want to know everything you battle in your mind. I couldn't handle it. You understand that? It's not wise. We can't handle those things. But there is a place at a certain level to share one with another and confess that, you know, I'm struggling here, or I made a mistake here, or maybe it was more than a mistake. I flat out blew it. I'm going to take ownership. It brings something with it when we do that. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be what? That ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There's a lot in this passage, but what I want us to give consideration to is that confession brings healing. I'm going to tell you a story, and I thought about calling Brother Brian Rich and asking him if I had permission to, and I didn't get around to it. He told it from behind the pulpit, so I'll assume that's on the record, okay? If they said it publicly, then I assume it's all right. Brother Brian Rich shared a story a while back in a meeting we were jointly in. And this was many, many years ago. One of their children, I think he might have been saved at the time. I don't even remember. He may have been saved, but he was having some spiritual problems. And if I don't get it just right, then you forgive me. I'll tell it the best I remember. But he said one of their children got sick. One of their young boys got sick, and he told what the problem was, and I don't remember the name, but it was life-threatening. It was when you bleed, correct me if I'm wrong, Renee, you bleed under the skin, and he was turning black and blue. I think he was starting to even bleed externally some. He started losing his appetite. He was dying. That's where it would have ended. And it got critical. And he said that they were praying. He and his wife were praying. I won't get the story just right, but he felt like that the Lord let him know that it was his fault. Now, that may have been taking on more than what it was, but the Lord was talking to him, and he said he went to his wife, and he said, honey, I feel like that the relationship was not real good. The relationship in the marriage had not been real good, and Brother Brian took ownership. And he said, I feel like it's hindering our prayers. And he said, I feel like if I clear this up, God told me he's going to heal our son. God did tell him that, because God healed him. So I know God did tell him. But he went to his wife, and he took ownership, and he said, I haven't been the husband I should have been. And he said, I'm sorry. And she said, no, she said, it's my, and she took ownership. You know, that's the way it ought to be. They were taking ownership, and they were able to get down and pray, and the Lord healed their son. Healing. Now, that's talking about physical healing, but it came through confession. You know, our prayers can be hindered in marriages. I will say, as a congregation, as a people, our prayers can be hindered when there needs to be some ownership taken of some things. They took ownership, and the Lord heard their prayer, and He healed their boy. Could have been a very different result. God does not always heal physically. We know that. God does not always heal physically, but I want to tell you, there is a deeper healing of the emotions, of the spirit, that can occur when we can take ownership of needs in our life. It brings about an openness. When I am confessing, I'm taking ownership, that now the hurt, when I allow it to come out, and I take the responsibility of my part, of what I've done. Brother Justin said, sometimes you're even taking someone else's part as well. You're taking ownership of what they've done. But I'm taking it, and I'm bringing it to the Lord, and I'm confessing that. The Lord then can begin to mend what's broken in our spirits. There is healing in confession. I believe there is healing in homes. Healing can start with confession. You know that confession is not always easy. I remember one time I had told an elderly sister, you children listen now. I had told an elderly sister in the congregation, when I was just a young boy, and I don't remember what I had done. But I think I said something that wasn't quite true. I did not have an intention to lie to her. I did not have an intention to say something was true. But I knew that I was going to have to go fix it. And it was so hard. Or I had made a comment that I shouldn't have. I don't even remember now what it was. And I struggled with that. I was having to go up to this elder and tell her what I'd done or what I'd said. I did not want to do it. But I knew if I was going to be at peace, I had to confess. So finally, I want to say I worked up my nerve, but I was asking the Lord. It's like I was doing it for Him because I wanted to be clear with God. So finally, come Wednesday night, I walked up and it was so hard. And I said it, and you know, a weight dropped off of me. She was sweet about it. She didn't say, well, why did he? She just accepted it. It's okay. It wasn't okay, but it was for her then. But there was such a load that came off of me. Confession brings healing. Now, there are some times that confession gets down into some sore places. There are times in families, in homes, with people, that confession, it almost seems like it might just make it worse because it opens up these sores. But you know what? If it's not healed, it's not healed. It may be covered over. You may have said, well, we'll just put it behind us. But you're, whoever you're dealing with, you both know there's a problem and you haven't dealt with it. For trying to put something behind you doesn't change reality that it's still there. See, if you don't deal with it properly, and it hurts. Have you ever had a discussion with someone that you talked about some things that was just hurtful? And you almost don't even want to talk about it. It's like, let's forget it. But you know what? For healing to happen, it hurts. But the result of it is healing. The result is healing. You've got to clean the wound out before it'll heal properly. And there are some areas, there's some infection. There's too much infection in people's relationships with. And you can't just pray it away. You're going to have to do some confessing, taking some ownership, acknowledging some things. And it's not going to be pleasant for anybody. But once you do it, if you do it with grace, it can then promote healing. And that healing does not occur except through this confession. I trust you'll accept and understand that the balance in what I'm saying this morning, there are circumstances and situations that change things, but he said, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. And I believe there is a confession is good. There's, Brother Brian had mentioned with this story, he said he'd gone to congregations. I have to, people say, well, we need healing. Have you ever heard that? Our family needs healing. Our congregation needs healing. Where's it going to start? It's going to start right here. Take ownership. Well, we need healing. How's it going to come? It's going to come by acknowledging maybe an area I could have done differently or should have done differently. And then God can begin to bring healing. I believe the Lord wants healing. I believe He desires healing. So not only does confession, we're free in our spirits. We're forgiven. We're set free. We can be reconciled or be at peace in those areas that we're not reconciled. It brings accountability that can be a strength to us going forward. It can also bring healing. So confession is very important. There's great power in that little word up there. So may God bless us and help us. We don't want the devil to take this and run with it in our life. Like I said, if you confess and take ownership and you clear it up, you don't have to keep going back. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes the devil makes you just keep thinking you have to do it over and over and over and over. No. If you've done it, it's taken care of, it's under the blood, leave it under the blood and move on. Okay? You know what I'm talking about? I'm someone I like things to be a certain way. I want things to be clear. And the danger of that is that you can just start harping on the same old stuff. You gotta put it under the blood and leave it there. If you've cleared it up with whoever's involved, then move on. Okay? So don't let the devil to take the message today and beat you over the head with it. Take it as an encouragement, and if it's applicable, which I believe it is in all of our lives, in some way or another, let's use it as a tool in our arsenal for spiritual growth, but let's not let the devil take advantage of it either. So you pray for me. Appreciate your attention.